In honor of the holy Heliga Baal Hashem Tov. Happy birthday. He's like 350 and 400 years old. Happy birthday. And this song really just epitomizes everything that Chassid is about. I know I say that about every story, but this one, it's almost true. So one time, some Chassidim, they're on their way to visit the Rebbe, the seer of Lublin. And they're walking through the forest to go to the Rebbe by Rosh Hashanah. Saw this little kid who is mamish in rags, and he mamish looks so hungry and so poor, and the little boy, he was dancing. And they said, little boy, why are you dancing? And he told them in a sing-songy voice, I'm dancing because I haven't eaten in 3 days. That's a weird reason to dance. Maybe he's on a weird diet, you fast and dance. Said, no, I'll explain to you, very simple. See, I went out to the forest, just like the Baal Shem Tov used to go out to the Carpathian Mountains to talk to the creator of the world and to the field. And I started complaining. I said, master of the world, I'm 9 years old. How many sins could I have done? I don't understand. Why won't you give me food? And he started complaining and crying. I got a sparkle master of the world. And then he kind of realized, oh my gosh, I'm complaining so much. But have I ever really thanked Hashem? I may not have any food. Surely God will give me food. He's always given me in the past. And he had given me a tati and a mommy and a brother and a sister and breath and shoes and frisbees and house. Okay, the windows are a little broken, but I still have a house. And mama, she just kept talking over and over about all the blessings. And this is the sweetest way to get connected with Hashem. Oh, the Hashem, the Chole. And the Chassidim said, wow. And he just eventually just started dancing out of joy for all the blessings that Hashem had given him. They said, this Rebbe, he's going to be a great Rebbe of the Jewish people. And they gave him a lot of food and they took him to their yeshiva. And he became one of the greatest Rebbes of the Chassidut from Menachem Mendel of Mimino. Lubavitcher Rebbe was named after him, but it's not. Lubavitcher Rebbe was named after Menachem. Well, they're named after the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the song that he was singing after we thought, the truth is, me and my wife try to do this a lot. We have these meals, they're called gratitude rounds. We try to do it like every day. And every bite we eat of salad, we try to say something we're thankful for. It's like a drinking game. You get drunk off of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the song that they were singing is probably the song I just saw you. So now let's sing it together, my friends.
That was
physical too. We can do that too. It's really fun. Maybe at the end, let's sing the song. Open up our hearts. Thank you. further ado, we are ready to learn a little chassidut inside.
Thank you.
Just a little bit of opening up our hearts. I didn't make enough for everyone, so sorry. Chassidus is very into the environment, so I only made 10 copies, so two people can share. It's all good. Okay, you ready? So we are gonna, this is the more, I guess last week was like more of an introduction. This is more classical, Netivot Shalom style, where he really asks a great kashya on the parsha, and then he develops it with a beautiful answer that will be applicable to our lives. You ready? Okay. Everybody, please, this part takes concentration, hard work. Does anyone else need a pen? I have another one. Okay. Oh, I think that's all I have. Sorry, guys. Okay, you ready? Okay. V'lakachta mereshit kopri adama asher tavi me'aretzacha. The pasuk says that, right at the beginning of the parsha, that you shall take from the first of your fruits from the land, which you will take from your land. Okay? You'll take the first fruit. That's the mitzvah of Bikurim. Muvah b'mefarshim. The mefarshim bring what Reforshim is referring to, Rashi, Sfarno, and our Parsha. The Reshit, what does Reshit remind us of?
Reshit,
exactly. Reshit. Reshit Hainu Hamishubach. What does that mean?
The holified.
The best, present. Vamuvchar.
The choicest.
The choicest.
Yeah.
You have to give your first fruits to God. You go to Yerushalayim, you go to a Kohen like Yidan, you go to the hotel, you go to the Har Bayis.
Like we did today at lunch.
And you vault like we did today at lunch. You take your grapes and you declare this whole declaration of Arami Oved Avi. Okay?
Okay, what does Rishi mean first?
Rishi means the beginning, the first, but he's saying it's the choicest. The choicest, the best.
The best.
Uval lilamed. What does the lamed mean?
To learn.
To teach.
Nailed it.
Lil motors.
Like
what?
Malami.
Yeah, exactly. She'in mevi'in bikurim. We do not bring bikurim. Ella mizayin haminim. From the
seven species.
Shenishdabcha behem Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael were praised with. And you can't bring a banana, you can't bring an orange, even though you gotta bring pomegranates, you gotta bring grapes, you gotta bring dates, you gotta bring figs.
Avocado.
Now you get why I brought the grapes today. Derech Agav, why specifically the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Why can't I just bring bananas or apples or oranges?
Bananas or berries.
Not the same.
Why not? Because what's the mitzvah of Bikurim trying to help us appreciate?
The land of Israel.
The land of Israel, exactly. Maybe we'll talk more about that in Parsha tomorrow. Okay, great.
Doesn't Israel have like a booming citrus market?
That's true. We're talking about biblically what we're considering. Okay. Shinishtab Chabem Yitzchak. This is a hard word. This is going to come up in every Netivot Shalom, so please underline this. Vitzarech Birur. Tzadik Bet means Tzarech Birur. What does that mean? This requires clarification. We have, in other words, question mark. Im kain, in other words, if so, lama no lo ne'mar v'lekachta mishevach pri adama. Why didn't it say take from the best of the land? V'vaday she'tmuna kavana miyuchedet v'omar lekacha mereshit. If the Torah really means to say take the best, so why doesn't it just say that? Why does it say take mereshit? What's the hidden meaning behind this word? Oh. So Jeremy's already offering a solution that's bringing us back to the creation of the world. Awesome. Any other ideas of what Reshit? Why would the Torah specifically use this language of Reshit, of the first? Any other Torah concepts which are connected? Bechor is the first. Very good. Jeremy's on roll. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of our year. Nice. What else in Judaism? Rosh Chodesh. What else? What else is the first in Judaism? The first
Bikurim.
Bikurim. No, talk about it. Okay, let's see if he talks about it. Uvin Midrash. Chassidus very often interprets Midrash, interprets the rabbis and makes it more meaningful. Itta means, good Gemara word, it's brought down. Write that down, guys. Shebizchut Bikurim Nivra Haolam.
in the merit of the mitzvah of Bikurim, the whole world was created. This is actually, I think, the first or second Rashi in the whole Torah where he talks about Bereshit actually refers to Bikurim. Of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, is something so special about Bikurim that the whole world is created just so that I can take those first fruits and offer them to this Kohen. Yeah, you guys with me? So what is it? What's so special about this mitzvah of Bikurim that the whole world was created for it? Shenemar Bereshit bara Elokim, Ve'ein Reshit Ella Bikurim. Shenemar Reshit Bikurei Admatecha. You see, Bereshit, Reshit. There's a connection here. So therefore, Rashi says that the whole purpose of the world is this mitzvah of Bikurim.
So there's no point of our lives.
I doubt that that's what he's trying to say. I would probably guess what he means is that the idea that is hinted at in Bikurim is so fundamental and transformational that if we understand that, all of our Torah and mitzvahs will be on a whole different level. Pretty cool. Excited to figure out what is it, what is so unique about Bikurim that this is like the whole Torah wrapped in this one mitzvah. Okay? And we have to leva'er. What does leva'er mean? We have to clarify. We have to explain. Mahi hamayla. What does mayla mean? Guys, what does mayla mean?
The benefit.
What is the benefit? What is a unique high purpose? What's so awesome? Hagdoila shel mitzvah bikurim, of the mitzvah bikurim, shekol habriya nivra'a bizchuta. The whole world is created because of this one mitzvah. That's pretty crazy. Rashi says that, and Chassidus is trying to figure out what the heck is Rashi talking about. Uvi prat. Hold on, let's just finish the paragraph, and then we'll all be able to figure out together. Uvi prat shelich ora. What does the chora mean?
It's about the hatzor.
No, not at all. It's very far from that.
What does lechora mean? We'll get to that. We'll get to suggestions in a moment.
We'll get to being wrong.
Seemingly, lechora, good word to write down. Lechora, seemingly, at first glance. He mitzvah kala. It's an easy mitzvah. Sholala ma'ot mod. It's not so expensive. Pri adam abatula, a little bit of fruit. Take a little grape. What's the biggie? Kain sarach biror. What does sarach biror mean?
Need clarification.
Need clarification. Masha namar, another... Chassidus like to have a lot of abbreviations because they didn't have that much paper back then, so they wanted to write in short. Plus, it's like a cool group. You have to be like in the club, so you have to learn the ma shenemar, that which is taught lahalan later. Yishtachavita lifnei Hashem lekecha, and you shall bow to Hashem. Shelo matzinu ba'af korban mitzvat yishtachava. There's no other mitzvah that has this idea of. What does yishtachave mean?
Bowing down.
Bowing down. Only here in mitzvah bikurim. So to clarify again, the three questions that the Nativo Shalom is asking are, anybody remember? What are the questions he's asking? Or at least two questions, yeah?
Why is the world created for bikurim?
What's so special about this mitzvah that the whole world is created for bikurim and...
Things everyone together.
And why what?
Why
is it reishit and bikurim? Why reishit, and why bowing? Okay, those are three questions. Why do we bow specifically in this mitzvah? There are more questions, but we're going to skip them for the purpose of the time. I want to hear ideas, Hasidic masters. What do you guys think? Why? What's so special about Bikurim? Aviad, what do you think?
Back in the day, most people were farmers. And
that's true.
What they yielded were the fruits of their fields. So, we spend like a whole year, we were just learning with Rav Liebtag that like, so much of our chagim and our holidays have to do with our work in the fields, and it's about the harvest, and we spend our whole year trying to be good people so God doesn't kill us with famine, bad harvest and stuff like that. We work so hard, everything we do is about producing, and then once we finally produce, what's the first thing we have to do? We have to give some of it to God. So it's the ultimate exemplification of how everything you should do, everything you do in your whole life, the first priority there is God.
Awesome. Amazing. Excellent, excellent job. The only problem is, what am I going to talk about the rest of the shit? Stop. I'll find what to talk about. Great. Any other ideas? We will get back to your idea. Exactly. You're giving. You worked so hard, and then you're giving of yourself. That's definitely a fundamental idea. It actually comes up in many, many, many mitzvahs. Some of them, even, you'll be shocked to figure out that that's a fundamental idea. For example, Sfirat HaOmer, if you think about it, also comes back to that idea. We'll talk about that later in the year. But any other ideas about why do we... That doesn't answer all of our questions. Why do we bow? And what's unique...
No, bowing is from the same place.
Same concept of submission.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Any other ideas, or everyone agrees Aviad pretty much said it?
Wait, I'm walking home. What
did he say? Aviad is saying that it's the idea of you just produce this fruit, you're so proud of it, you want to give it back to God and recognize that he's the source of your fruit. Okay, yeah. Jeremy.
I think, like, the main purpose of it is to show, you're not giving it, like, specifically to God, but it's just about thinking beyond yourself, and, like, not everything you do has to be for yourself. You really want, like, the purpose of the world is to focus on the world around you and on everyone else and everything else.
Cool. So you're saying it's just getting out of your own selfish place, and right at that moment when you want to just grab that lunch, to stop and say, there's a greater purpose here, and there's other things besides myself in the world. Very good. Awesome. Any other ideas, thoughts? Let me ask another question to you guys. Is there any biblical story, which, not exactly in Pshat, but certainly according to Rashi, harks back to this Bikurim idea? Yeah? Exactly. Exactly. How so? Say good.
I'm a God.
The first commandment that God gave Adam and Eve was they had two different jobs. Cain was more, I think, of sheep herder or like a shepherd.
Cain was a farmer, and Hevel was a planter. Yeah. No, the opposite. Hevel was Heaven was taking care of the sheep, and Cain was giving the agriculture. And what does Rashi explain? Why did God reject Cain's...
Because you should be vegetarian.
That's one shot. But not what Rashi says. Why does God reject Cain's korban?
Because he gave him like a secondary.
And he was saying like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, I'll just give you this and like get rid of you. And then but he wasn't saying like, oh, like you're my number one guy. Like, if I could do butter, I would.
You guys hear what Jared's saying? Cain was... The difference is, Cain was not serving God as my creator, was not thanking Hashem. He was getting rid of God. And when you want to get rid of someone, you don't give him your best stuff. Let's say you got a wedding gift that you don't really want so much. So then you get rid of it, and you re-gift and you get rid of it, because you want him to give you a gift. But if you really love someone, you go out and you buy your best.
Or the poor.
I don't know, Shlomo Sefer. And you give him that Shlomo Sefer because you love him so much. And that's your expression of love. Yeah, that's what I do at weddings. But the point is that Cain was exactly that. He was just getting rid of God. And perhaps this might be a little bit of a tikkun, of a fixing of that original mistake that Cain did back in the fields. Yeah, you with me? You hearing me? Okay, now let's look at it inside, and we'll pick up some new words and some Hasidic concepts. And that's the great thing about Hasidus, even if you kind of know where he's going, it still like drives it home really strong to hear it in his words. Okay? So, we're skipping to the second paragraph, Ubeir Ha'inyan. You guys with me? The second paragraph, Ubeir Ha'inyan?
I don't see it.
No, I don't see it.
Okay, it says Bet.
Oh, I found it.
Bet. Ubeir Ha'inyan. What does Ubeir Ha'inyan mean?
The explanation.
The explanation for the matter. Kid Ita, what does Ita mean?
If.
It's brought down. Svarim Akdashim. What does Svarim Akdashim mean?
The holy books.
What it specifically refers to Kabbalistic works generally in Hasidic literature. Remember, Hasidus is an offshoot of Kabbalah. Okay?
Is it really?
Yeah. It's based on, it's like taking the Kabbalistic concepts and bringing it down to earth in a way that's inhalable.
So are like the weird stuff in Kabbalah, are those incorporated into Hasidut?
A lot of it.
Like
like not eating onions.
Not necessarily all of it, but a lot of parts.
Or demons with chicken feet?
What? Not so much. But that's actually in the Gemara. Not in the Gemara.
And touch fingernails.
That's in Gemara and Brachos.
I have chicken.
Oh yeah, is it true that if a pregnant lady steps on a fingernail...
we're
do you believe in demons?
We are so off topic. Controversial topic, then we'll talk about it.
Wait,
we gotta focus on that. We gotta focus. Do I believe in it? I have mixed feelings.
Okay.
Uber Inyan Yisbezorin. Todas Yaakov Yosef. As brought down by Todas Yaakov Yosef, the Todas is the author of the Baal Shem Tov. He wrote down... Baal Shem Tov did not write his author, I gotta get me somebody who will write down my words for me, but Lashenzo was cool enough that he got somebody to write down all his works. And God is eternal. And his Torah is also eternal. And now we don't have a mikdash, we don't have bikurim. God forbid, could we say that this mitzvah no longer has relevance in our life? Of course not. Chassidus is all about taking every mitzvah and always making it relevant to our lives. How are we going to make Bikurim relevant to our lives if we no longer have a Beit HaMikdash, we no longer have Bikurim? It includes everything. All of my matters and all of my, what does hanatav mean?
Enjoyments.
All of my pleasures. Okay? Shemi kol davar tikach areshit v'tavi l'Hashem lokecha. From every matter, I have to take the first and I have to give it up to Hashem, says the Toldos, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. U'kemo shemone v'holech sham shebekol chushe adam.
Like saying a bracha kind of embodies.
Oh, very good. And that's what we're getting to. But bracha is a wonderful example of taking that first food and before I just dig into eating it, giving it a greater purpose and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where else in our Judaism practically do we see this concept of before we just...
Modani.
Modani is a fantastic example.
Not the one I was looking for, though.
No, it is. It is a great example. The first thing we do when we wake up is we thank Hashem. Another interesting halacha, before we daven shacharis, we're really not supposed to eat a meal. Not supposed to eat breakfast. We wash right away.
That's a halacha? The first day you didn't have dinner, remember?
I didn't eat dinner, but that's the truth is you're really supposed to eat after you... you're only supposed to daven after you eat. But a lot of rabbis are lenient because they say if there's a set time, it's okay. But I'm, for other reasons, I try to only eat after I daven.
You like hummus.
No, it's not about that. I spiritually don't feel like I can daven too much if I eat too much. It like brings me down.
Physically.
It like the physicality and the spirit mixes me down. So just for spiritual reasons, I need to like daven and then eat. But you'll see.
You don't feel
take
irritated?
Lunch and I'll eat it after I daven.
You don't feel like irritated?
No.
I feel like I could kill people when I'm hungry.
Everyone's different. Some people are like that. I actually daven my best on Friday night when I like try to fast on Friday. I only have fruits on Fridays usually. And drinks.
That's why I can see all of your muscles.
Must be the best part of your week.
It is, by far.
That's crazy.
I love davening, and it's a totally different type of davening. And I love the meal.
Even more than third meal?
Look at those veins on his arm. That's what happens when you fast on Fridays.
I used to not eat on the Torah reading days. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a thing. I'm not on that level, but there is a thing on Mondays and Thursdays to fast. Because there is an idea of, there is a little bit of asceticism in Judaism, not for the sake of whipping yourself, but for the sake of being in balance, not getting obsessed with the physical, as we're talking about. Any other ideas of practical, guys, what other practical ways in Judaism do we see this concept of giving it up? The first thing we do is for Hashem.
Oh, Shemitah.
Shemitah is a good example. We don't sacrifice our firstborns
anymore.
That's other religions. But Akedat Yitzchak theoretically could be an example of that. What else?
Bris Milah.
Right away. Right? How about Shabbos? We do Kiddush before we eat. What do? We give it up to Hashem and we sanctify. This is a very, very fundamental idea in Judaism, which Nativo Shalom is reminding us, is really encapsulated in the idea of Bikurim. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Super quick. I don't know how many of you guys were in the Ramam show, the Rav Kook show this morning.
We all were. Size for you.
If you want the book, I've got Berger, myself, Brooks, Elon, and Yoni down. Does anyone...
So every cent should ultimately be dedicated to Hashem. V'le'or zeh. And in light of this, nimsa shekola Torah kula nichlelet b'mitzvot bikurim. It turns out that the whole Torah is nichlelet. What does nichlelet mean?
It's general.
Included. Yeah. Included. It's generalized. In the mitzvot bikurim, sheyudi yimsor l'Hashem yitbarach. What does yimsor mean? Moser. He will give over. He'll be willing to give over to Hashem, may his name be praised. Et areshit v'atchala mikol davar davar. From every matter, our goal is
to give it up to God, before we embrace it, we have to first give it up to Hashem. Now again, let's take a break. And let me ask, psychologically, what does that do for a person when he first gives it up to God? How will that make us different people? How does that make us different when we give our first up to God? How does that change us?
Selfless.
Makes us more selfless.
Discipline,
excellent. What else?
Not like acting on your first desires.
Not acting on your first desires. Yeah. Right? It impulsive.
Yeah, impulsive.
Right? The Torah, according to this, is trying to train us all of these beautiful character traits. And first, to be not self-oriented. In other words, to not be animals. Nothing against animals, but humans aren't animals. Animals, when they see food, they grab it. They want that food, right? When they wake up, they think food. When they want to have relations, they think relations.
Food.
When they want to look at something, they'll look at it. And then when they want to hear something, when they want to speak Lashon Hara, they'll just speak Lashon Hara. Those chickens, right? Whereas us human beings, we are not animals. We are a crazy mix of divine being and animals. And the Torah is trying to get us to uplift our animal and make us spiritual, tzelem Elohim neshamot.
Why?
Apparently because that's our essence. That's who we are. That's who God created us to be. That's what, like a guitar is meant to be a guitar. A human is meant to be a divine being that has discipline, that is connected to its creator, and that is selfless. That's my best guess as to why Hashem wants us to be that. But that is the goal of creation, according to this Nativa Shalom. Yeah, question.
You know, when I wake up in the morning, or when I see food, I think to myself, food.
Fine.
Same.
Exactly. Most people wake up in the world, guys. And what's the most people?
I think food first thing in the morning.
Okay.
I wake up to eat.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But what should a Jew ideally wake up and think?
Wow. Hashem.
Thank you, Mode. Thank you. Thank you, Hashem. I'm alive. What do most people actually think? I have to go to the bathroom.
No, it's more like I don't want to get up.
Snooze, right. That was such a loose.
And guys, this is always a work in progress. This is not me or you. We are all constantly need to hear this message all the time. And that's good, Shlomo, that you're being honest. It's true. But what Chassidus is trying to train is what we ideally should be. Ideally, we should be giving our first thoughts to Moda Ani, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.